Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As we consider our Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah for this first Sunday after Christmas, I want you to think about what Isaiah's message here has to say about the blessings of Christmas. Particularly, I want you to think about what it truly means that, as Isaiah says in verse 8, God became our Savior. That in verse 9, in all our affliction, he was afflicted. Think about what it means in verse 14 that he says, the Spirit of the Lord gave us rest. Now, we can start all the way from the beginning. That's kind of what Isaiah does here in verse 7. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord. He goes all the way back to God's goodness. And we can start not just where Isaiah starts with with God's compassion to Israel, but all the way back, where does God's goodness and loving, steadfast love start? With creation. Creation is the most important part for us to start from, the most important place for us to begin as we think about how God has been good to his people. Even before anything else, God forms you in your mother's womb. Before anything else, before God did anything else, he created the heavens and the earth and said it was good. He created the earth, he filled the earth, he created man, and he said it is very good. And so God's people belong to him first and foremost because he created us. And then beyond that, in the Old Testament, God chose the people of Israel specifically to be his own people, and he himself became their God. That's where Isaiah begins in verse 7, verse 8. Surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely, and he became their Savior. He appeared to Abraham, and he gave to Abraham the promise that he would bless Abraham, and that through Abraham and his offspring, all the families of the earth would be blessed. He confirmed this promise to Abraham when he gave Abraham a son in his old age, Isaac, through whom this promise would be fulfilled. Isaac's son Jacob. God appears to Jacob and reassures him at Bethel, at Peniel, elsewhere. God makes him his child, and he makes the people of Israel his people. As part of this, he redeemed Israel through Moses from Israel's slavery in Egypt. What God has ever chosen a weak and abused people and delivered them? Over and over, God reminds his people he did not choose them because they were great, because they were strong. He chose them weak and enslaved and rescued them and redeemed them. That is what God did for them by plaguing Egypt and forcing Pharaoh to release them. And God does that for us as well. God creates you in your mother's womb just as he formed his own son, Jesus, in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He provides for you through all your life, not because of anything good he saw in you, but because he loved you. He chose you. God claims you as his own through your baptism when he places his name on you in the water. And of course, he sends his son, Jesus, to rescue not from physical slavery, as with Israel, but from our spiritual slavery to sin. God's goodness to his people, Israel in the Old Testament, us today, is unquestionable. He has done so much more for us than we have ever done to deserve, than we have ever deserved. But we, like Israel, rebel against him. And we see as we look through the Old Testament over and over, Israel rebels against God. In our reading, we can say that God isn't really talking about the rebellion in Egypt. You might even, looking at verse 11, he remembered the days of old of Moses and his people. We can even say that God isn't really talking about the wilderness wandering as well, even though Israel rebelled over and over in the wilderness. In our reading, we can say, really, that this rebellion is everything that happened afterwards, after God had brought his people into the promised land, after God had given them rest. Israel yet again succumbed to adultery. Multiple times, Israel left the worship of the true God to worship the false gods. Multiple times, over and over, Israel engaged in the shameful practices of the nations that God had driven out in front of them. Over and over, Israel violated the Ten Commandments after God had given them rest. Israel neglected the regular sacrifices, the regular festivals that God had given to them as a reminder of what he had done for them. Israel's kings themselves led the people astray after the false gods. All of these sinful, shameful acts turned them against God and caused God to turn against them. God punished Israel by delivering them over to their enemies, and he punished them by allowing them to be defeated and taken captive. He allows, after the time of Isaiah, what Isaiah looks forward to, the captivity under Babylon, Israel is taken away into slavery and captivity and exile in Babylon. And when we look at ourselves, are we really any better than Israel? We also look to things other than God. We also can forget his goodness to us, the good blessings that he has given to us. We also can turn to other people and other things, trying to find meaning in our lives apart from the one who has given us our lives. We also can neglect his worship and his service. We also can succumb to temptations, can reject his law when his law calls sin, sin. Are we any better than Israel? And as a consequence, we also deserve no better than the people of Israel received God's eternal condemnation. We deserve nothing more because of our sins. And yet, God refuses to give it. God does not forget us, no matter how much we forget him. God does not count our rebellion against us. Instead, he redeems our rebellion. He takes our rebellion and our sinful acts on himself. The message of Christmas is that God became man. God entered human flesh in order to sympathize with and redeem sinful human failings. His son, Jesus, accepted on himself the consequences of our rebellion, the consequences of our idolatry, our sins, on our behalf. Jesus suffered the penalty of our rebellion, abandonment, punishment, torment, rejection by God and man, so that we would not have to. And in exchange, God gives to us and counts to us the holiness and righteousness of Jesus. His holiness, his sinless life, God is counted to us. Jesus lived the sinless life, the perfect life that we never could. And when he takes on himself our guilt, he gives to us his sinlessness. This means that when God looks at us, he does not see our sins. He only sees Jesus, his righteousness, his holiness, his purity is counted to us. This is the message of the Christmas season, that God became a human being. The sinless Son of God was born as a real physical human child. We tend to gloss over everything that this means, but we need to remember this doesn't just mean that he was born and then he was baptized and started his ministry 30 years later. He experienced a human childhood in Bethlehem, in Egypt, in Nazareth, as we saw in our gospel reading. He went through the terrible twos. He experienced puberty. He experienced the full human condition so he could redeem the full human condition. He was afflicted and tempted in every way that we are so that he could overcome that affliction and temptation on our behalf. He redeemed and lifted and carried us, so because we could never bear up under the weight ourselves. He gives us rest in his spirit, not as some pie-in-the-sky future fantasy, but as a real, present, current, today reality. He places on us his name, making us his people, becoming our Savior, bringing us into his promised land to dwell with him eternally. And now may that peace of God which he gives us keep, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we live in the message of the Christmas season for us today and always. Amen.